Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, our radio audience, and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective. We're talking about, over this conversation, remember about organizing and that type of thing. And I want to say, you know, at the beginning of this, you know, that a mother can organize her house and it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? A father can organize his family and that's just wonderful. You can organize your bookshelf and that's wonderful. So the word organize is not a bad word. You know what I'm saying? It's the context of what's behind we're talking about. What is the reason? What is the motive behind it? And I truly believe, and I've said it in the context of it, that people have taken captive so much vocabulary and past experiences of others. And they're just using them for their own causes.
Hijacking it.
And one is, who I believe is an apostle of the Lord, is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who walked out. And you got to see this. It's going to, by the time we finish up these last three tactics talking about them, you're going to see a comparison. On one side, you're going to see Saul Alinsky's dedication and his methodology, his tactics. And on the other side, you're going to see Dr. King's dedication and his tactics and compare them. And one is light and one is dark. One is Jesus and one is Lucifer. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? In regards to Lucifer's tactics. That is not Dr. King. And Dr. King organized in the context of the United States Constitution. And not only did he do that, I mean, he stayed within the context of the laws, and he was a lawyer, but he also stayed under God's law. He stayed faithful to God and walking under God's. I mean, the Ten Commitments that you had to walk, and we're going to see these Ten Commitments. And so we can imitate those through faith who have gone before us in our own very nation of how to walk out in the context of America, walk out for the fullness of what is right and what is just. I love what Dr. King said on one of the interviews. I think it was like 60 Minutes or whatever it was at that particular time, the news hour or whatever. Mm-hmm. They had like a piece of paper come up over it. It was like very, you know, no graphics. And, but he says, well, he says, what do you think about, you know, that folks are they're saying that people are breaking the law and they weren't. He did not support that at all.
No.
But he did say this, because the Constitution is about justice for all.
Mm-hmm.
And so every citizen has the constitutional right and protection of the Constitution and what's there. So therefore, every unjust law is not a law at all. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so because it's not constitutional.
It's the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
But that has to be weighed out in the courts. And so you test that by, you know, going to the courts, and the courts check it out to see if it's just or not. Mm-hmm. That's why sometimes they make a law, but they take it to the courts, and the courts go, you got to throw this out because this is an unjust law. It is not constitutional. So I thought that was, you know, just brilliance in the context of that. And so we're talking about Saul, the Pharisee. It talks about in the book of Acts, when we're talking about the man that God used to write one half of the New Testament, they build Bible schools on. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was an organizer.
Mm-hmm.
He was organizing for Lucifer. And you can hear this whole thing, you know, but when we're talking about the next aspect of it, because in the beginning, he was organizing for darkness, persecuting the light, the church. And as he was going to the road to Damascus, with spewing out venomous threats against the church, he bumped into the light. He ran into Jesus and he met God, God who he thought he was serving. When he did meet God, he immediately allowed God to begin to organize him and said, you are the supreme organizer. And he began to organize his life. Why? Because Then we find out that Jesus is the supreme organizer of the church. So, hey, when we're moving in pride and in darkness, we're organizing. Mm-hmm. But when we're moving in obedience to Jesus, he's organizing. Even if it means we're walking in the context of something like Moses was walking at when God was delivering a people, it's still under the leadership of God. Mm-hmm. Moses got his orders from God. And Dr. King, based on what his testimony is, and his niece, Pastor Avita King, you know, move, and just hearing is it's just beautiful to hear. And I'm looking forward to one day being able to speak and talk with him. But then, you know, you had the persecutor organizer who was persecuted in the church, which was Saul.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gets saved and gives his life to Jesus to say, here I am, he allows God to begin to organize him. And what happens is he was working in the kingdom of darkness when he was persecuted in the church. But now that he's actually moved into the kingdom of light, persecution doesn't go away. It just shifts. Because today, we're going to talk about the last part of this, is Saul the persecuted. Saul the persecuted. It's not the persecution doesn't go away. It's just now you're not persecuting folks because you've entered into the light. And it's a battle between kingdoms. It's a very simple equation. It's a battle between good and evil, light and dark, Lucifer and God. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're on Lucifer's side, when you're walking in darkness, you are under his instruction, under his command, and you are a slave to what you obey and who you obey. But when you are up under Jesus Christ, you are no longer a part of the kingdom of darkness, but the kingdom of light.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so now, where you were once in the kingdom of darkness and you persecuted Christians and believers and gave those folks a hard time, understand now, when you move into kingdom of light, they're going to persecute you. It's not abnormal. It's just what happens in this battle between the light and dark.
Mm-hmm.
And so we look now, here's Paul, you know, and Saul. You know, he's been organized by God, and he's gone through his experience and his training, and Jesus is organizing his life now and leads him on a journey. In Acts chapter 21, verse 27, it starts when he's talking about the persecution that takes place. It says, when the Jews saw Paul at the temple, we would say the church, right? Mm-hmm. The religious thing. When they saw him there, they stirred up the whole crowd. They organized the crowd. See, there was a day that Paul was the one that stirred up the crowd around Stephen. We talked about it. But now he's being organized again.
Huh.
Just relax. Just relax. You just switch kingdoms. It's cool.
That's it.
You switch kingdoms. The difference is now you got to listen to the orders of the supreme organizer. You're no longer calling the shots. You start calling the shots, you move into the kingdom of darkness. And so they stirred up the crowd to begin to organize around Paul, which that's Saul's name, got changed to Paul. And they seized him. They organized such a way that they actually see the crowd seized Paul. And they shouted to the crowd. They began to hold up, quote, these proverbial signs and text things out. And they said, men of Israel, help us. These organizers are saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is the man who teaches all men everywhere against our people. Remember those words, our people. Against our laws. Remember that, our laws. And thirdly, against this place. Remember that, this place. Men and women held in captivity in darkness, even religious darkness, take it personal. They take it personal when this happens. They feel that you're against them, for they are overtaken by self-preservation. Our people, our way, our place. Satan has convinced them, Lucifer has convinced them, that those who are for the kingdom of God are against them. But what really is happening is that the presence of God's kingdom, the preaching of God's kingdom, the seeking of God's kingdom reveals and exposes what they've been building and are now depending on, which is their kingdoms, their place, their way, their people. Progression of kingdoms is what we're really seeing here, because all of a sudden, when I was talking about you preach the kingdom of God, all of a sudden other men's kingdoms begin to surface and they begin to fight for their people, their way, their place. And so, but Jesus tells us the very first thing we do when we actually decide that him, for him to be our supreme organizer, when we make him the Lord of our life, he says to do this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the way he wants us to order our life. That's the very thing, the first thing he tells us to do. Why? Because you just entered into his kingdom. You didn't enter into no program. You entered into the king's dominion. And so you left one kingdom and you entered into another kingdom. The kingdom you just left is not going to be happy about it. And we're just finding out right here, they're not happy that Paul left their kingdom. And they're angry. This is the man that's teaching another kingdom. He's teaching, you know, so all of a sudden, so Jesus tells us the first thing you do is seek first the kingdom of God, the king's dominion in your life. Well, it's not a big deal if you heard this whole conversation because he is the supreme organizer. You don't organize yourself anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't organize your marriage. God organizes these things and you do, he says in the context of that, and he empowers your marriage to actually work. Luke 17, 20 through 21, he talks about this, where the kingdom is located. So it doesn't matter what people are organizing on the outside. They're going to do all that kind of stuff. We heard about that when we heard about when Jesus was offered the kingdoms of this world by Lucifer. He said, they were given to me, I'll give them to you. And he's like, forget it. So this is what Jesus says. He says, once he was being asked by the Pharisees in Luke 17, 20, he was being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. And Jesus told them, the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is. Why? Because the kingdom of God is within you, in your midst. Understood. Understand this. Everywhere Paul went, under the supreme organizer of Jesus Christ, that's where the kingdom of God went. Mm-hmm. You're a kingdom container. The king, God, dwells inside light. So everywhere you go, you bring light if you are a child of the day. I mean, if you are a child of the light. Yet there's other kingdoms in this world. There's other kingdoms that other than God's kingdom. I mean, this is what happens in Luke 4. He tells us about it here in Luke 4 when the devil Lucifer led Jesus, or he was led, actually he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, but the devil Lucifer led Jesus. This is Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 2 and 5 and 9. The devil Lucifer led Jesus up to a high place, I mean, all the way to the top of, I don't know, Washington, D.C., maybe to Mount Moriah in Israel, I don't know, to a high place, and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world and said to Jesus, I will give you all their authority, all their splendor, if. And then he says this. This is Lucifer. Lucifer says it's the Son of God. I will give you all their authority and all their splendor, for it has been given to me. Lucifer said, it's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want.
Mm-hmm.
But you understand now, there's one kingdom called the kingdom of God, and there's a whole bunch of these other kingdoms under the kingdom of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't say, that's not true, you're a liar. He didn't say that. He says, if you'll worship me, if you'll bow down to me, I'll give you these kingdoms, and they'll be yours. Jesus didn't call him a liar. He just said, listen, it is written, worship the Lord your God and him only. He understood what he's telling us, that his kingdom is not of this world. This battle, whether it's an individual battle with yourself, whether it's a battle with in your family, when it's a battle, maybe it's a battle in your community, maybe it's a battle in your state, in your nation, your region, in the world, are all battles of kingdoms. It's over who's king. Whose dominion. It's all about just what Saul was doing at first, and now what's happening to him. My people, my laws, my place, my stuff, my things. The kingdom of God is what it's all about for us. Luke 4, 42, 43. The people tried to get Jesus to stay in their town when he was walking through his ministry. And this is what he said. He said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns, because this is why I was sent. Mm. This is why he was sent. It's about the kingdom of God. Mm. And then John the Baptist, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is near. And Jesus sends his disciples out in Matthew 10:7. He says, as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is near. And as Jesus was sent to preach the good news of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, now he says in John 17:18, and as you fathers, he's praying to the Father, to the creator of the universe, his Father. He says, as you, Father God, sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from Lucifer. Hmm. How was he sent? Why was he sent? To preach the kingdom. To preach the kingdom. Listen, this is a sign of the end of the age. He talks about it in Matthew 24. Great deception. Many false claims of many people calling themselves, they're false Christians, false prophets, false preachers. All that stuff, wars, rumors of wars, nations will rise against nation, ethnic group against ethnic group, kingdom against kingdom, families divided, earthquakes, famine. Christians will hate. Christians will be hated by every nation that exists out there. Many false prophets. During this time, many will turn away from their faith, from the kingdom of God. There will be a great falling away, a betrayal of others because of this great darkness and wickedness that the love of most will grow cold. But this is what he says in Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached to the whole world as a test before all witnesses, to all races. Then the end will come. Why does he tell us to pray? When he tells us to pray, he says, listen, our Father, who art in heaven, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
How does a lawsuit against a city seal come before the court? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I know the ACLU they're out to, you know, rename every half the cities in the country, but how do these cases ever get into federal court?
Here's what happens. A citizen in the community generally objects, and they'll object to the symbol there, the crosses for La Cruces, New Mexico. And then there's been challenges against Corpus Christi, and that's the body of Christ. So that they bring them in federal court, they get citizens in the area to say, quote, they're offended. And unfortunately, oftentimes the court will say, well, offense, looking at something is enough to bring a literal constitutional challenge. And that's how this happens.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. To become more involved in protecting these freedoms, visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements, and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word but not doers, and so we're deceiving ourselves because we're listening and amen, 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 but we're not doing it. Mm. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. He loves to deceive people, but I think in a lot of ways he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings, because they're like, I don't even need to work there. They're deceiving themselves. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening it, and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on, because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh, yeah, I heard it. Oh, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this. I got so convicted, I walked away. I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this, we did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. This is great. They're not. When Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent. Let me see you turn. Peter, repent. You know, it's turn, turn, turn. And we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen, you need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God, because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you. Right now, free, just go and request it at iabide.org, iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance, your eternity.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Man, talk to us. You know, Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes.
One of the leaders at the Brownsville Revival School of Ministry with Brother John Kilpatrick, as they trained up a lot of folks.
Sure did.
At the Orange.
At the Orange.
At the Orange.
BRSM.
At BRSM, Brownsville Revival School of Ministry, they wear polyester slacks.
Sure did.
Did you now?
I guess.
Still do.
So what's happening?
Well, my goodness. Dr. Brown, yeah. Michael Brown, he has put this article out there in Charisma Magazine. And it's the anointing. It transferred.
I can't help it. It never happened until it happened.
Until, yeah, exactly. Thank you for that contribution. Yeah,
not a problem.
Mental tar babies.
Thank you. Anyhow, he talks about these 10 quotes that really have helped to shape his life and those that he's committed to memory. And
his mustache. Right. He has a big, huge mustache.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I wanted to share
with
you.
We're just blowing your mind. It's like,
Till.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And didn't see the connection, but okay.
Okay, right. I forgot you were his student, so I know you probably think differently in the context.
It was Hagar.
Remember? It was Hagar. No. Didn't she come from the... Anyway,
go ahead.
Okay, so back to all-time favorite quotes. I can't even say them today.
Dr. Brown, I did not say that. Dr. Brown, I did not say that. You call it croaks?
Quotes.
Croaks.
Quotes.
It's not, well, you know, croakers.
Quotes.
Okay. Quoters. Quoters, not croakers.
Ready?
Got it.
All right. Okay, we're here. All right. VFN Radio, we're here. Okay.
Yeah, is it hot or is it just
It's
the croaks?
Just you. So, the number one.
What are we talking about
quote,
again?
Very serious quote, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
very
my goodness.
Serious quote. Very
Let's
serious
get in the serious
quote.
Mode.
Yeah, I think
Ian,
so.
We are paying attention right now. Man, this is serious.
Thank you, Ian.
Okay.
So, this is one of them. For the sake of dying, suffering world, count the costs, pay the price, and set the captives free. John G. Lake said that. I'm going to read that again. For the sake of a dying, suffering world, count the cost, pay the price, and set the captives free. When you think about some of these quotes that, you know, awesome men of God, men and women have shared, it comes from a life of ministry, a life of serving God, a life of laying it all down. You think about John G. Lake's life in ministry, he counted the cost. And many people don't know that John G. Lake was a very, very successful and very wealthy insurance executive.
No, and, I didn't know that. Yeah, I knew he was a businessman. But
yeah, as insurance executive, and he just left it all to go to Africa. And, you know, go into ministry and do what God's called them to do. And they try to do everything in the world to keep him on board. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah. He said, no, this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
And wound up shaking Africa and the world. And we're still talking about his ministry today.
Over 5,000 churches, healing houses all over the world.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. So he counted the cost in view of that. Another quote is, how shall I feel at the judgment if multitudes of missed opportunities pass before me in full review and all my excuses prove to be disguises of my cowardice and pride?
It just sounds so different when Dr. Brown says that.
I know I know
Get into the Dr. Brown mode. Say it again.
I'll repeat it again.
You're sitting there.
I don't know if I can get into
you're
the
in
mode.
You're in a plaid pair of pants. But you're sitting in the orange.
But I will repeat that again.
He's leaning forward. You know, he leaned over. He says, I got the announcements. They're going to be the next 15 hours.
I don't.
Oh, you don't? Oh, man. You're being very careful. Okay, go ahead.
Number two. How shall I feel at the judgment if the multitudes of missed opportunities pass before me in full review and all my excuses prove to be disguises of my cowardice and pride? That's huge. Mm. W.E. Sangster said that. And I think it was quoted in Dr. Minister Leonard Ravenhill, I can't even say his name, his book, Why Revival Tarries. And Leonard Ravenhill has a bunch of these, you know, amazing.
So the concept of that then is saying you're standing before the throne of God, you're seeing multitudes go into darkness,
right,
to hell,
right,
and the reason why they're going is because you were too afraid, you were a coward,
or pride,
wow. Self-aware,
yeah, self-awareness, not thinking of the things of God, but thinking about
yourself.
And he's saying, now how could you handle that? Which helps us adjust our life, that kind of reality.
I'd rather hear it now than on the other side.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, how many people, and it says that you know, cowards don't get in. Mm-hmm. The revelation of Christ said,
it's
right?
What it says. It's what the word of God says.
Don't be those who shrink back and who are destroyed.
Yeah. Regret's such a horrible thing, so it's better to get it right on this side than on that side. And there's going to be a lot of things
you can
eliminate
tomorrow's regrets today by doing what's right today.
That's right.
That's fix it now.
Third one is the man whose little sermon. I love these quotes. The man whose little sermon is repent sets himself against his age and will for the time being be battered merciless by the age whose moral tone he challenges. I'm going to read that again.
That's too deep for Pat and me. You got to break it down a little bit.
I'm going to
take the next 30 minutes. Start with the nouns and work your way to the...
The man whose little sermon...
Okay, because the man has a little sermon.
...is repent.
Oh, this is a repent. That's
repent.
His sermon.
That's his sermon.
His sermon's repent. Okay, got it.
Sets himself against his age.
Okay, sets himself. What's that mean? Sets himself against his age.
Sets himself. You know what I'm saying? He's facing his age. This is his message. He sets himself against the age in which he's in.
I thought how old he was.
That he's in.
Okay, it's the season of his life.
The season of his life.
Culture and everything's going on. Okay.
And will, for the time being, during that time period that he's preaching this message, repent, right. He's going to be battered, merciless, by the age, the season, the time, the people he's sharing it to, whose moral tone he challenges.
Okay, that totally makes sense now. So basically it's like, I'm going to get on God's side. That means the world's not going to be on my side.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell, the message is going to be, get on God's side.
Get on God's side.
And so I'll spend the rest of my life, the people who don't want to get on God's side are going to be on my back.
That's right.
I'm going to set myself against, and you're not really doing that, but the very fact that you've done it, you've polarized yourself from the people who, you're a child of the day.
People that want to stay in darkness are not going to want to hear you.
The verdict's in, right?
Yeah.
That's
shed
good.
The light.
Yeah. See, so you've explained it to Pat and I. It makes it a little bit more sense. Yeah. That was powerful.
Thank you.
You may have to go back and explain that, the other one.
May have to. Here's another one. Satan is so much more in earnest than we are. He buys up the opportunity while we're wondering how much it will cost. And that was Amy.
Now, Ernest is that puppet that was on Sesame Street?
No.
That was Ernie.
It was Ernie?
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
I don't
more
get it.
Ernest. I guess what he's trying to say is that Satan is more serious. He sees the opportunity. More earnest. He's going to jump on this opportunity, and he buys up the opportunity while we're wondering how much it'll cost. He's so basically on his evil game.
It's like playing Monopoly, and somebody the first time they're playing it, they don't realize if you had the money to buy a part
you
place,
you better go buy it right now.
You should have bought it. And so Satan knows, get a Monopoly as quick as you can.
That's right.
He'll buy up everything he can because he knows you're going to have to pass by there, versus we would say, well, how much is that going to cost? The railroad's going to cost
me. It's going to cost me. How much is that going to cost me?
How much is
going to
cost me? And how much rent would I get? And does that balance out with my 501c2 and all that?
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Very good. Very good. Here's a few more. Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and not tried. Christianity has not
been... Have mercy on us. We're listening. You're going to read it again. It might not help if you explain it to us in my own.
Well, maybe...
So, no, Christianity has went to trial.
Right.
Like a court.
Right.
And it's been lacking. It's been found lacking, they're saying.
Right. But it... It's,
but the truth is,
right?
That's what they're saying. But the truth is what?
That it's difficult, but they haven't even tried it. They haven't even engaged it itself.
They judged it before they even entered in.
Exactly.
Right.
And left them at the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
Oh, that's wow. That's powerful, isn't it?
That is good. Now
we got to give people the chance and tell them,
chance.
Oh, wow, this is good stuff, man.
Very
hey,
good.
We're with you now.
Now that I understand.
We understand it. We understand. We're from Second and Third Street.
I didn't write the Ben on Mike quotes, but you know. These are powerful.
These definitely are Dr. Brown quotes.
Yeah, no doubt.
Dr. Brown.
Deep.
That's
deep.
Dr. Brown.
Dr.
Brown. Go ahead.
Well, okay.
Oh.
Flashback. If God were not my friend, Satan would not be so much my enemy.
Ooh, now I understand that.
That's plain. I like that one.
What you doing hanging around me?
Exactly.
Because if God were not my friend, Satan wouldn't be my enemy.
That's right. Because, you know, Satan's not going to fight anything that's already on his side.
Yeah,
but because God is on your side and you're on his side, rather. You're on God's side. Enemies stirred up.
Then Jesus says, be careful when all people talk well of you, because that's how they treated the false prophets, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Powerful. Here's the last one. William Booth, leader of the Salvation Army, which is General Booth. Love that guy. The greatness of a man's power.
I had coffee last night at Starbucks with him. No mess with you.
The greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. So it's not how much, you know, how much he can do in his own self and his own, you know, money or whatever form of power people think they have.
Right.
It's what he's willing to give up that shows his strength. Because when you're giving things up, really, you're not resting on what you can do and your own natural resources, but you're totally surrendering to the will and to the all-sufficiency power that's within Christ, and God's going to take care of it all.
It makes me think about a meek horse where you have one horse that runs through the field and they go, look at that beauty. But then you look at a 2,000, 2,500-pound horse that actually is up under its rider, and it's running barrels. It's stopping as they're roping calves. They're doing these jumps, and it's like more people are more impressed with that strength under control versus the one who just kind of, what do? They just kind of run through the pasture with their mane kind of flapping through the wind. But you're just like, it's like meekness under control, right? That's what's impressive. Strength under control. That's powerful, man.
Wow,
no wonder. That's
good
stuff.
Hey, I thought it were very good.
Yeah,
very
we just need a few pictures to help us out, you know.
Hey.
Yeah.
Get my crayon going here.
No doubt.
Very good.
There's more, isn't there?
That's it.
That was 10?
That was 10.
Yeah, it was 10. We gave them to you pretty quickly.
1, 2, 4. That was 4.
It's 10.
Wow.
Can't come over.
Okay.
That was quick.
That was very quick. Well, here we are at the end of 10. I was getting
allegedly.
What are you getting in this?
Well,
allegedly.
Yeah.
Right. We are verifying that now. Price Waterhouse, could you please come out and pull out the thing? We would like to present. That was 4. It was 4 of those puppies. It could have blended them together and all
that. Yeah. There was some other stuff involved in the mixing of them that we
right,
missed them.
Right.
Maybe we were more
simple.
Serious.
We can't count either. Barely.
I understand.
They were very, very serious.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I love VFN Radio. You know, when I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an I something or an N something, and put it on your desk at work, and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it, 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it,
mm-hmm.
don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment, And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee
mm-hmm.
while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Pat, what is God saying to you, man? The fear of the Lord. The fear. I know you've been really just meditating on that. Talk to us, man.
Oh, man, I've been devouring it. It's just, wow, it's just getting deeper and deeper in Revelation. You know, last time I was talking, it was about, you know, Nadab and Abihu and their reverent offering and how the glory of God was so present. There was just this immediate judgment. And then that's even goes into the New Testament. You see Ananias and Sapphira, how they were dealt with because glory of God was so present. Well, then it takes you, you know, several hundred years on from, you know, I talked about Nadab and Abihu, and then further on when, you know, the children of Israel had, you know, strayed away from God, and, you know, they started doing things how they saw fit. You know, it talks about in the book of Judges. And then it gets to talks about Eli and his sons,
right?
You know, and they were supposed to be the, you know, the caretakers of the ark and the presence,
right.
And, you know, and all that. And it talked about how, you know, the voice of the Lord was rare in those days,
right?
You know, and his eyes were going bad, and he couldn't see.
Right.
They weren't hearing God's voice.
Right.
His sons were supposed to be taking care of things, and they're like doing horrific things. They're, you know, taking advantage of the women that would come to worship and taking their offerings for themselves. It was just horrific.
Eli was like frying up the food instead of
boil
offerings. He wasn't doing offerings the right way.
Exactly.
He wasn't honoring the offerings.
It was terrible. And so obviously God's presence was nowhere around.
Right.
So, which, you know, Eli didn't deal with his sons. And so you wouldn't know, well, why didn't God, you know, like he did earlier, you know, why didn't he deal with them?
Right.
Well, and he talked about why was God's judgment delayed? That's the name of this chapter, Delayed Judgment.
You're talking about John Bevere's book,
John Bevere, Fear the Lord, correct. And it was because of, you know, because the light was so dim, there was, you know, he was not present. He cannot be around that type of atmosphere. He just won't.
Right.
Period.
That's what so often people think. They think, well, hey, when I got close to that ministry or that church gathering or whatever, then terrible things started happening to me. But when I left, all of a sudden, I don't have
the pressure lifted.
All, you know,
yeah.
Nadab's still alive.
Exactly.
I was still alive. Eli's son's doing whatever they were doing and not big deal. And the whole thing is like you're just saying, right? It's like, it's not the fact that,
yeah,
that what we were doing was right. It's the fact we got away from the consequences and the holiness and the presence mm-hmm. of God, who his very presence judges sin.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, you're thinking their sons, because there was nothing happened to them. So they thought, well, God obviously must be winking at this. It's no big deal. So they keep on and keep on and never.
And he talked to them. He did say, hey, sons, I hear there's a report. Yeah. This is going on.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all he did.
Which, right.
And he should have instantly removed them and just dealt with it, but he didn't.
Right.
So eventually what ends up happening is, you know, God does end up dealing with them. They end up getting killed in war. On the same day, the sons die. And once Eli finds out about it, he falls out of his chair and breaks his neck. So within a day.
Right.
In a day.
Right.
Instantly. I mean, it was over for them.
Right.
And I think they even talked about, you know, I think their family line was.
Yes, exactly.
Ichabod.
They had a daughter. His daughter-in-law was having a child, and they changed the name of the child to Ichabod.
Yeah.
Which means the glory has departed.
Exactly.
And what happened was the ark was gone. They lost the ark they lost the presence of God to the enemy.
Yeah.
And some people say, well, why is, you know, there was a day and a season when God was moving, but now it just seems like, and I know those folks ain't right, but things are happening with those folks down there, those Philistines, but they got, what's going on? And it's like, it's because God's just left
mm-hmm.
his people.
Mm-hmm.
He pulled away from them. And that's so serious, you know, when you think about it. And if you can't handle correction in your life, and you know, sometimes it's real difficult to bring correction to America. I was just talking to an employer who says the type of people that are being raised up and trained up in our schools in America today that he's dealing with,
mm-hmm.
that if he has an employee that he has to bring correction to, if it means correction one time, he can pretty much guarantee the next day they're gone.
They're not going to show up.
They're not going to show up. And it's like, oh, what have we done? And the whole, there's an environment that's created in such a way today that prevents authority or hinders authority from doing what it needs to do. I mean, there's parents that are disciplining their children and the authorities are getting involved in that. There's, you know, husbands that are trying to lead their homes, but then they're actually emasculating the husband and saying that he mm-hmm. doesn't and shouldn't be doing that, and the father shouldn't be doing that. There's mothers, you know, trying to get help, and they say, you know, help me with this situation, the children, and they hold her accountable for it, they hold the father accountable for it, but they don't. They actually hinder them in the process of doing it. And this is what he actually said about that, by the way. That this is how significant this is in our country today. It's a spirit, by the way. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the spirit, which means you still got to do what's right. And this mm-hmm. this one particular parent did. This man had his sons that had did some bad things at the school, I believe it was. And so he, when he gets home, he gets onto his boys and he disciplines his boys. Mm-hmm. Well, the boys go to school the next day, and they tell the teacher, they send out some sort of governmental thing to his house, and they tell him that you can't do this or whatever. And so then they leave as it was. And then the boys go off and do something bad again at school, the two brothers do. And so this time he disciplined them again. But this time he told me, so this is what I want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to go in the morning. I want you to get on the bus. And I want you to get off the bus. I want you to talk to any of your friends. I want you to go straight to the principal's office. And I want you to tell them what I did. I want you to mm-hmm. learn right up front what I did. And so they got on the bus and they went to school. And while they were gone, he was packing up all their luggage. And packing up both the son's suitcases. And went and sat on the front porch of his house. And what do you know? There comes the government, you know, coming out. And, you know, this guy's just trying to raise his kids.
Mm-hmm.
And boys. And then the person pulls up and he tries to get into the back seat of the car, but it's locked. And
who's this?
This is the father who tries to get into the back seat of the car because he's thinking, you know. And the person says, what are you doing? What's going on? He says, well, hey, you know, you guys think you could do it better? There's your luggage right there. There's two suitcases right there. Take me to jail. And long story short, the person, the government person says, listen, you're doing the right thing. You know, actually commended him.
Mm-hmm.
But if he wouldn't have stood up for what's right, then no telling what would happen. Because I've seen other parents that were treated differently in the whole situation. And coming from a law enforcement perspective is, you know, as I was in law enforcement, this is what's going to happen. If your child doesn't listen to you, you know, and you are moving in authority, and just because you discipline them, it doesn't mean that they will, that eventually they're going to face authority. They're going to face authority. And but it's not easy. And that's what, you know, you're talking about right here. And we're going to continue talking about the fear of the Lord. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Isn't it so cool? All of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it.
Right.
When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook.
Mm.
You can go to VFNTV.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure can.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting. And we want to encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights. Go to the VFN TV blog and just copy the link of one of those blogs and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged. And now you can go into the wonderful basket of opportunity on VFNTV.com, go to the VFNTV blog, go to the highlights, and just copy something there and just paste it into your Facebook, and they'll get it and be able to listen to it on their phones or whatever. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFNTV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us. Texting. And we just thought about some very interesting things is that you actually could text somebody and then you could blame it on Siri. So I'm just going to vent for a moment, you know, because everybody's going to think, like, you did that on purpose. No, really. I can actually look at my phone, type, and especially because what happens is when you get a new phone,
It
takes a while for Snowden to get all your data together. Where it moves, it kind of learns you, I guess, or something like that. And it takes a while for those numbers to get in their proper order.
Yeah.
And because I had three new phones. Three new phones right close together.
Oh, that's right.
I had the one phone that took a swim for 10 seconds.
Don't
and take. I didn't know it couldn't swim. And then I had another phone. It was a refurbished phone from my warranty. And Apple sends me, this is a better phone than the ones you buy from the store because it's gone through everything. And it's been checked really good. And I go, it didn't work.
Yeah.
How can it be better?
The same conversation.
The other one worked
them.
For years. The other one for years. It's like better. He said, well, I'm going to send you another one that's better than the new one things. And that's the one that Siri's acting all up. She don't know me yet. She don't know me yet.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, oh my goodness. I think it's our Southern draw. That we got to, really enunciate our words and speak more like John. Tournament.
There you go.
Tournament. The statistics tell us that.
And then the lightning hits you and it's all over.
I focus on that word now. I focus on
it. He does really good.
I listen every time.
And I was even, I don't know if y'all noticed that, when I said wrestling, and then wrestling.
You're still working on mill, but that's okay. Still working on that one.
Which one?
Mill. Instead of a meal, mill.
Oh, mill.
Mill. He's like, oh, I didn't
are
know
you
about
calling
that
me
one.
Heavy? Are you calling me heavy? What are you talking about? A mill. What does that come from? I know I'm retaining a little for today. Jiminy crickets. Like the mill, M-E-A-L?
Yes, M-E-A-L. Meal.
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 How do I say it?
Mill. You never noticed that.
Well, let me tell you how Southerners normally talk. This is how Southerners normally talk. Jeet.
Yeah.
No Jew. Nope. Don't do. And I'll tell you what that was, did you eat yet?
Yeah.
And the other one responded back, nope. Do you want to eat? And the other one goes back, yes. Let's go to Cracker Barrel. That's what that meant. But it kind of goes like this, cheat. Nope. Don't do.
I. Yep.
I eat, yeah. That was the final thing. I eat, and that means we're going to have biscuits with the gravy as a Cracker Barrel. So we can say we've come a long way.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. We're trying to enunciate things.
We're sophisticated now.
Oh.
How do you sophisticated? Oh, my goodness. God uses the things that are not to nullify the things that are.
No
and
doubt.
I have you know, as long as the Bubba Show is going across the world,
exactly,
we are in there. We are totally in there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
It's not easy to do what's right, but you have to do what's right. And, but they will actually come and arrest them as adults or as young people, put handcuffs on them, put them in the back of a metal cage of a car, take them in and strip search them, put them in a locked jail cell, stun them with 45,000 plus volts of electricity with stun guns, hit them with nightsticks. I mean, they'll do all this physical stuff to them. And all you wanted to do was just typical discipline that happens in your home that God says to do.
Yeah.
You know, for your child. And so there's a double thing. You know, it's easier said than done when somebody says, you should just discipline your child. Well, all hell broke loose in society when I tried to discipline my daughter or my son, the guy would say, or the mother would say. And what it is a strategy of Satan to keep you from doing the very thing you need to do. Mm-hmm. And what happens if you don't, this is what happens. Mm-hmm. God just pulls his presence away from that family, from that marriage, from that church gathering, and that's what happened here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Eli not dealing with his sons.
Yeah. Of course, the whole theme of this chapter was delayed judgment, but one of the quotes he says, judgment delayed is never judgment denied.
Yes.
I remember the first time I heard that, that's rocked my world.
Yeah.
It's
the mercies of God.
It's the mercies of God that he doesn't deal with you instantly. You know, it's grace of God.
So many people, you know, that because we're so instant, we think if God didn't give us an answer and we asked a question within 24 hours, the answer he gives us 30 days later is obviously not the answer to that question. That must be an answer to some other question, right?
Right.
You know, or this hardship happening cannot connect to something that happened 6 months ago or 6 years ago that I have not yet repented of in my life. You know, and it's like, you're right.
Mm.
Judgment delayed is not judgment denied.
Yeah, it's just mercy.
And that's where we are right now in America, man. I feel like even in America, I just... You know, since the sins of our fathers, not just our sins, but the sins of our fathers just about to pour down on top of us because the church is turning their back on God. I mean, you know, as we say continually, most believers don't even read the Word of God, you know, according to George Barna. And really 97%. When you think about it in the context of the way God says read it, doesn't do it.
Right.
And that's turning away from God. And so I'm kind of sensing that with America, that God's pulling his hand off of America, and Ichabod could be written over America if we don't say, God, you know, I want your glory. And we got to become desperate for the glory of God, which means you got to deal with yourself.
That's just it. You're going to have to deal with yourself. You want God's glory and his presence. Realize, you're going to be dealt with.
Yes.
If there's anything in your life.
Yeah, and on VFN TV, you can go to VFNTV.com and watch VFN TV, Desperate for God's, or listen to Desperate for God's Glory. And you just got to get desperate. Like David got desperate. And he started at first, and he found out he had to deal with some things when he lost Uzzah in Ohio on the journey there. Mm-hmm. And the fear of God, it landed. He went back. Began to read the Bible. He went back to get read the Word. And goes, oh, this is how you do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so many people ask for more of the Lord. And it's like, right now, you probably don't want more of the Lord, because more of his presence right now with that in your life is going to bring terrible things. And we've seen some stuff. Why are you talking to me like this? I don't want you to be in Ananias. Live, right?
Exactly. Good. No, yeah. That's it.
And so you got two dilemmas going on. You had, will the sons, this is not just natural family. We're talking about spiritual family. Are you dealing with your staff? Are you dealing with your spiritual sons and spiritual daughters? Are you dealing with those that you're responsible for? And the ones that are probably the need the most dealing with are the ones that make you most uncomfortable in dealing with them, because they have pride in their life. But you got to deal with that. If you don't deal with that, then Ichabod's going to be written over your ministry, over your business, over your home. And just the shifting takes place in the context of that. But yeah, his whole family lineage was ripped out of the priesthood. Mm-hmm. Think about that.
Erased.
I mean, that means, this poor child that was just born, it's like, what's your name? Ick. Isn't Ichabod? I just go by Ick. Ick's bad enough. Your literal name of a child is, my name is Glory Has Departed. And it's like, oh, dear God, Lord. Help us, God. We want your glory. Help us to deal with our stuff and do what's right, and confront those who make it difficult for us to confront them, so that you would be pleased and your presence could dwell with us. We want more of you. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back after this message.
Mark Downey & Associates is a unique real estate firm that specializes in property management and high-end home sales. The secret to the success of this multi-award-winning firm is simple: aggressive marketing and intense passion for serving others. If you're looking for a team of professionals that ensures the total satisfaction of their clients, contact Mark Downey's team today. Looking for a holistic, organic, and herbal approach for healing? Look no further than Old Time Remedies in Pensacola. With over 200 bulk herbs on the shelf, large variety, and high quality, call, visit online, or drop in today and sign up for one of our popular workshops. Visit Miss Sue's Vintage Market for your special one-of-a-kind gifts and for all your antique decor. Vintage, rustic, distressed furniture, collectibles. On the corner of Ensley and North Palafox, where you can buy, sell, and consign, visit Sue today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. Special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, John, when I'm listening to the VFN radio program, I am so encouraged. Mm-hmm. And I listen to it, and you got the first hour, there's that break, you go right. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm air guitaring. During that intro, when it's coming down, all of our VFN Radio listeners, it is okay to air guitar.
No, that's right.
Because as far as I know, I've got that solo mastered, and if you know it, I'm rocking that air guitar. But when that segment's over, I'm like, man, I got to wait until tomorrow to hear the next program. And I'm like, oh, all right, okay. Well, if you haven't heard yet, if you don't know yet, you can listen to a program back to back to back. Yeah, you can listen to five programs back to back to back and listen to the marathon weekend. You might be listening to the Monday's program or the Tuesday's program, and then you got to wait 24 hours the next one. Well, you can listen to all five programs with no breaks in between. So check out the whole weekend marathon, Saturday, 9 a.m. Central until Monday, 9 a.m. Central, the weekend marathon.